October 15th, 2019, budget workshop at 6:30.
All set, Leah?
Ready.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to a budget workshop for October 15th here at 6:30 p.m. And continuing as we have going through the budget process, we have invited in Highway Superintendent Paul Joseph, and we will go through Highway first, which is which section? Jeffrey.
You want to start in A3310?
Yeah.
For traffic concerns?
3310?
Yes.
You're good.
I just put it there because I didn't want to put it
on the board. That's
nice. So that's perfect. I know, she's spoiled.
But,
listen.
Yeah. Don't even bring that out.
The chocolate was ruined. You guys ate it so fast, you didn't know it. But it was being recorded. Sorry.
All right, under tentative budget for 2020, under the .4 account for that's for signs. Paul had requested $6,950 in his budget. I had put in $3,200, but it was based on the amount of funds that we used year to date, which I don't think was very significant, right? Do you know what that number was off in? And the number that I have is actually higher than what you've used year to date so far.
Well, I can honestly say that I've just had two orders come in the last week, so this is the time of year we start doing.
Oh, so you don't do signs through the year?
We do signs a little bit, but most of the time this is the time of year I do all the roads we just paved.
Well, the other thing is, too, is I looked at historically what we usually spend, and we've hovered around, you know, $3,200, $3,700, $3,000,
$3,900,
and this was like twice that.
On the sheet that I put with the budget, I put in for a radar display sign, the ones that when you come up on shows your speed is this, and they're quite expensive signs, like $3,000 a piece.
The radar.
The radar. Yeah. And
So that was in your request.
Yeah, that's in the request. Okay. That's what the big increase is for. Only because we have a lot of people calling, and the sheriffs can't do anything. And what these do is they keep track of the time of day that they have all the speeders, and I can give that information to the sheriffs and the state troopers and everything, and they can sit around and watch better and try to catch these people.
That's these cool. Are portable. You can move them.
Yeah, they're portable. You can move them around. A lot of the towns are going to them. I know Greenfield just bought four of them. He's having great success.
They're pretty effective when I drive through. I know it's on the record. When I drive through areas, it's a little reminder to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, my position is, that's why I didn't have that included in the budget. I don't think the highway superintendent should be involved in the speed enforcement. I think that's a role for law enforcement. I don't know, does a county have them? I know some counties in the state,
the county
they will rotate them through at request.
The county has one that they use mainly on their work sites because they have a lot of problems with speeders for the work builds.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, what they do is they give the information to them, and then they try to ticket people.
I was curious, if we wind up doing something with parking regulations over on Iris in that area, because I know we've talked about that a little bit, we'll probably need some no parking signs over there, possibly. I don't know if that's something we can talk about for cost, but what are those things? What is a no parking sign with a post cost?
No parking sign with a post, you're looking at about $70.
So there's other issues with that. As far as no parking on town roads, the way the code is set up now, you have to do is you have to name each road in there. And some municipalities have a blanket local law that says there is no parking on town roads. And I don't think they post them except in key areas.
Right.
Understood. So that can get expensive. We know how well the signs work.
There's 41 of them right now on Tango Drive. And
I don't think it has abated the situation at all. So I'd hate to throw money at additional signs there until we have a better way to establish enforcement.
Right.
The other sign,
Town signs. Welcome to Meridian. We had a sign taken down by Rec because it's all delaminated down on Fort Edward. And Route 9 coming from Saratoga. I've got to stop and really look at it, but that one looks pretty poor, too. Not as bad as Fort Edward.
Yeah, those aren't highway signs, though. Okay. Those are, so that would come out of, I mean, that could come out of economic development if you're promoting
We need
town.
To take that on a separate line.
Okay. Yeah, that wouldn't be part of
that's
the policy.
What I was going to say. But
he's on town. Oh, no. We don't want to take our state highways.
Paul, if you back out the radar sign, is the 3200 cover your request?
Excuse me?
If you back out that radar sign you're talking about, I don't know what document.
The 3200 would take care of our normal yearly signs.
Mm-hmm.
What would everybody like to do?
Well, I'd like to put a little asterisk on it and see if we have any money at the end. But
what's the number you want to have in right now?
The 32.
Okay.
Yeah.
But let's leave that open for... I don't know if we have an issue around town. We have a lot of people asking us to put in some reduction of speeds at times, but
okay.
Those radar signs are fairly effective at getting people.
Yeah, so there was something that brought up to me by somebody at the school about, is Merritt Road a school zone?
There is a school zone in Merritt Road.
It's not posted there.
Yes, it is.
No, but the signs are... Apparently the sheriff's department will not write tickets because it's one side says school zone in a yellow thing, like school zone 15 miles ahead.
See,
and there is no 15 mile hour sign.
The school is supposed to be buying those signs and they've never bought them. Those signs that we have up there were ones that we got years ago.
Okay.
I got them from the county and put them up. But there is a school zone, and they have written tickets there.
Well, so the current gendarmes are indicating that they don't feel comfortable writing tickets because they don't feel it's properly posted.
So, yeah, I had a call and playing phone tag with a deputy who wanted me to chat with him on that in greater detail. We haven't caught up with each other.
Okay.
We playing phone tag, and he stopped in a few times, and I was out of the office. But
apparently, one side has a 15 mile an hour sign. The other
Merritt
side is not.
Right?
On Merritt, right? From the school.
Yeah. When you come from Route 9, I think it is. When you come from Beaver Dam, it's not. And then Tanglewood Drive says no parking, or it says school zone 15 mile with an arrow as if it's down the road, but then there's no. School zone sign.
So, but you're saying that the school is supposed to provide those?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess that's one of the questions you have when you talk to the deputy.
We put them up and they buy them.
All right.
Good to know.
Anything else on the A3310 count? Where are we headed next, Jeffrey?
A5010.
I'm sorry, but I didn't point out that Paul had requested on the road striping back under 3310, $39,500, and I had kept that in the budget at
$39,500. Yeah. You weren't able to get paint this year, were you? Is that what I understood?
They took care of the roads that were deeply faded and the ones we paved this year. They just did them today.
Okay.
They're almost out of paint.
But that was paint that they had and not the new shipment that came in?
They got another shipment that was approved by New York State DOT that they were able to use.
Okay, great.
Okay, what were we, 5010?
5010.
All right, A5010, which is Highway Superintendent, as far as Highway Clerk. Well, let me back up. So I have for department head request as a placeholder put in the 2% in this budget, and we will be visiting that at the end of the budget process for all salaries and hourly wage earners. I don't know if you wanted to speak on that or not. I know that you had requested $62,200, and with the 2%, I have a placeholder there of $59,065.
One of the reasons I raised it up is to be involved with all the other highway supers in Saratoga County. That's part of it right there.
Okay, and then for highway clerk, Paul requested $24,000. I put in 2% at $22,762. And so last year's adopted budget, we had $80,223 in. Highway superintendent had requested to bump that up to $86,200 and had reduced it to essentially a 2% increase to $81,827, which is about $1,600 over last year's adopted budget. I think under the point one account, point one account, Paul requested miscellaneous of $50. I left that in there. Computer with monitor, $1,800. I left that in there. Mileage and meals, Paul requested $2,200. I left it at $2,200. Actually, everything in that point two account I left in as the highway superintendent had requested.
And just about all of that is a carryover from this year. Same exact numbers.
So,
I do have one question, and Jeffrey could might be able to answer this. The National Business I'm speaking ahead. Wait till I get there.
Okay.
I'm ahead of myself.
I can't remember. Highway clerk, part-time. Nothing was requested for that, Jeff, but we have $14.54 an hour in there.
That's actually Maureen's number. It says part-time, it's supposed to be full-time.
Oh.
That's okay. Maureen's rate of pay.
All right. Any questions on 5010? All right. Next.
85132. Right down.
Highway garage. Now, is this... where do we put the funding for the roof? Is that
That is for discussion for the board.
Yeah. What is that and the 5132?
That would be under 5132.
Okay, so just to bring everyone up to speed, I think everyone was at the board meeting when I reported the bids that we received at the highway garage. It's my intention to do that work in 2020. The lowest, lowest bid is approximately just under $450,000, I think. Next highest one is about $200,000 higher than that. Right now we have our engineers vetting that contractor to make sure that you know, everything is favorable before we act on that. One of the things I think is a very good idea is that we have a construction manager, which would be LaBerge Group, to oversee every aspect and watch out for our interests, and therefore the job could be stopped at any time if there's a problem. That's going to be approximately $40,000, 10% of the job for construction management. And I believe we have built in this budget $600,000 with some change. Is that accurate? Or did we not plug it in yet?
It's not plugged in yet.
Okay, because we're going to use fund balance on that?
That's correct.
Okay. So along that lines, we're also anticipating a $200,000 grant from Senator Jordan's office. I know that Senator Marchione had sponsored it for us. We have made it through the entire process for approval. The last step is for release from the Senate Finance Committee, and I spoke with Daphne on Saturday morning, and we don't expect any of those monies to be released till after election day. I'm not shocked by that, but so hopefully we're still in line to have that money that we can count on for 2020, and that'll have a huge impact on our budget, on our fund balance, and it'll help us accomplish our goal of getting that roof taken care of. Also on highway HVAC, our goal is to, we had funded it this year's budget, and our goal is to get the work under contract before the end of this year. We think we can do that. I know the engineers are working diligently to make that happen. And if we can do that, then we'll be able to reappropriate that money for 2020 out of this year's budget. So we'll have an open PO on it, so we won't have to fund it in the 2020 budget. So that's what our goal is right now, to help ease the burden on the A fund there. So a lot of moving parts on it. But I'll go right down through the individual accounts. Paul had requested a $900 for an air gun.
Laptop.
These ones are getting smaller every year.
You want my glasses?
$900, I left that in there. Under contractual printing, we left in at the highway superintendent's request of $150, the same with maintenance agreements of $1,000. Highway garage litigation left in there at his request of $2,600. NIMO, we got 24, which is what you had requested. Is it going to be a different?
No, the litigation, you had the equipment repairs at 1,000 and then the maintenance agreements at 26. Just misspoke.
Oh,
you carried a line.
Yep.
Your ruler isn't sharp.
There's my magnifying glass. Okay, on the NIMO, you said you had an issue.
The NIMO, I had a question for Jeffrey because this is paying off the new lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed this year we still have quite a bit left. So I lowered it from the 26 this year, 131, to the 24, thinking that's going to be enough.
Right.
You see more of that than I do, so.
Yeah, no, I think that's an accurate statement.
This
is the cost savings we're seeing from just even switching.
Oh, I know. I've been watching that. The cost savings this year is great.
That was huge.
And the lighting is so much brighter. It's unbelievable. Okay, that's all.
Telephone, I put in the amount requested, $1,560. Fuel tank testing, that's an annual event, right?
Yes.
Yeah, $600. I left that in there. I left in supplies request, $900. Building repairs, $19,700. I left that in at $19,700. Miscellaneous, $1,000, left that in at $1,000. Cleaning, $2,200, left that in at $2,200, as well as water at $700. So for the 0.4 account, last year's budget that we adopted was $128,681.
That has the HVAC in it.
Right, so we're hoping to expend those funds in 2019, so we don't have to account for them in 2020. So that means this year's total 0.4 account would be $54,410. Jeffrey, why doesn't that add up at the bottom? It's $100 short. Or $1,100 short. Something different.
You got the $900 from the 0.4.
Yep. Oh, okay. We're good there. Any questions?
Well, is this where the highway's going to go?
Yes. That's where it should go.
So we need to have an agreement on how much you want to earmark, and we're going to take that from the fund balance. My recommendation is that we pull out, what was the next highest bid? If I might recall. Yeah, my recommendation would be to plug in that bid plus 10%. For construction management.
As a placeholder?
As a placeholder. We're going to pull it out of fund balance. And because the SAM grant program works as a reimbursable, you'd have to fund it up front anyway, submit the vouchers to the state, and then the money would come back in. When the money comes back in, we'll put it back in the fund balance.
And if we go with the lower bid, we just put the...
And we'll put the... Yeah, we can... well, hopefully, I will know, the town will know, before we adopt our budget, which one we're going with. So we'll be able to firm those numbers up. But I think we should go with the next highest right now, whatever that number is.
So the next highest at 10 and plus 10%?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is what you need for construction management. So it's going to be approximately 60 and 600 or whatever it was. If everybody's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Hopefully we get this... we're just under contract in 2019 for HVAC. Do you have anything else under? So that'll be one other issue we can check off for getting taken care of.
Thank you for tackling. That's a big thing.
Yeah, good group effort. Next one.
It would be B,
$85.40.
You don't know that.
Bingo.
You don't know that.
Bingo.
Can you tab these next year for us on the outside?
Let's pick a secretary.
$85.40?
Whatever you want, guys.
$85.40 drainage, correct?
Correct.
Alrighty, so under drains, this is where our MS4 oversight is partially shared. So our full-time clerk at Highway, we earmarked 25% of her time, which is 520 hours. The budget request was for 7,600. Last year, we adopted 7,439, and I have 7,561 there, but there's got to be a reason for that. Could we extrapolate what the rate is or something? At
That's 2% over last year.
Oh, okay. So then we'll have to remember to change that number if there's a change in what we do for pay.
Yes.
Will that be automatic when we plug it in?
I'll do it. It's good automatic.
Enough. Right answer.
You do it with the tabs. Jeffrey Maddock, right?
So moving down to contractual. under our MS4 plan, last year we adopted $16,000 for it. Quest was for $16,000, and we kept it at $16,000. Paul had requested under miscellaneous for Hudson Drive $36,500 to work on the drain door there, which has been an ongoing issue for a very long time.
There's one section of old galvanized pipe down in the ground. It's probably about 14 feet down. And a couple years ago, we did another section, but that was totally destroyed. This one here, I had the village camera. Actually, Glens Falls came down and cameraed part of it for me. And the pipe is still relinable. But what has to be done first is they have to come in and do their high-pressure cleaning, and then they put the reline it and blow it up and cure it. It saves us from digging up the hole, everything, and it's a lot more, less expensive for the town. I didn't know where the town stood because I know I've even had people call me from down there when that line was put in. It was paid for by the residents down there.
So
and we were supposed to maintain it, so that's why I put this in.
So I didn't put it in the budget because I remember a conversation or discussion a while back about the possibility of a drainage district was created, which allows you to recoup. It's like a water district. Just those that benefit recoup from it. And I don't remember how that was resolved.
I don't either.
So that's why I didn't have it in the budget. If I can find out through research and through Carla's office that there is, in fact, a drainage district that was created years ago, number one, we would be able to determine that the cost would be passed on to just those that benefit. But then the other issue is, do the residents really want to pay for it? So there's two things that have to be answered. So I don't have it in the budget because I don't have those answers. You know, if I can get those answers before adoption of the budget, we might have a better direction on where to go with that. But, you know, it's up to what the board wants to do also.
Well, let's pretend we're there and there isn't a drainage district. What's the risk of not doing the work?
Well, I had one resident say they lost their furnace and hot water tank this year because it backed up that bad. I didn't find it backed up as bad as they say it is, but every house has a lateral that runs out, and we can only go so far up the laterals with the jetter, so it could be part of the lateral, but with that being said, this would all be addressed with this high pressure that they have in cleaning.
Does this high pressure cleaning lining go all the way up through these laterals you're referring to?
It goes the main pipe and the laterals that run up between the property lines, which is all plastic. It doesn't, but it's perforated, so it gets root buildup, and the system we have is not designed for that type of stuff.
So if it's root bound at this point, what does this system do?
It goes. They have a cutter that goes in, and they suck it out at the same time.
Okay. Does it come out of town outside?
Yes.
So, so over the past past 8 or 9 years, the fund balance for Town Outside has dropped from over $1.8 million to around $1 million. So because we don't have a highway tax, this would have to be funded with fund balance. And, you know, the other question is if there's a possibility of recouping it through already established statute. Do you want to go ahead and use fund balance when I think there would be a question from the controller's office of using that money if legally they were supposed to pay for it. And I'm not sure we want the town to be in that position. Do we have already answered that?
If there's a district, I'd rather have the district pay for it, if that's what they choose to do. I'm just curious if we're a season away from something getting much worse or, you know what.
Like, we'll be out there again before winter hits and make sure we keep as much open as we can. So I just don't know how long the pipe will last. That's why I want to catch it before it gets bad and we have to dig it all up.
The part of the expenses is way down there.
Yeah.
It's way down. Like, how many people did you say?
14.
Yeah. You know, which requires a whole set of different set of rules as far as, you know, combined space.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the last time we subbed it out.
Yeah. And this would be a subbed out price.
Yeah.
So I was just asking, if it's not covered in the drainage district, then we'd have to put it back.
From fund balance.
Yeah.
So
we either pull it out until we find out, or leave it in and take it out if we find out.
It's up to the board.
And I certainly would support if we can be getting it fixed again. So I don't know exactly we have anyone to do that with. When you say drainage district, that's something that's already built into its own budget that we could...
Well, there's no budget because we haven't done any work, but we have a legal authority to do the work and then backfill it.
So then we would bill the residents.
So it would appear on their tax bill.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's going to be a whole series of questions that... God, when was the last time this was put in? Or when was it put in? I mean, those houses could have turned over 2 and 3 times... 4 times now, if not more.
The 70s, if I remember right.
So some people are living there not knowing it's potentially part of their possible tax type payments.
And I'm not sure why we never got an answer on it, because we had it had been discussed under two other administrations, at least two other administrations that I've been a part of.
And roughly, do we have any idea how many properties would be in that district?
I don't know, because I don't know what district it is. If it considers both sides of Hudson Drive, if it considers, you know, because it runs 3/4 of the length of Hudson Drive.
So at least they're having a conversation now with everyone on Hudson Drive.
I think we find out if there's a district.
If it's a writing, the district will tell you what area is paid for it.
Yeah,
but then
it's defined.
And also, if there is a district, then there should be a yearly maintenance fee anyways for keeping it clear.
Right.
If it's a district and they have to pay for it, do we not have to hit them all in 1 year with it, correct? We could
I think Mrs. Boucher said they paid over 10 years or 15 years for it when it originally went in.
Is that a resident there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those...
It sounds like there is a district.
Huh?
So it sounds like there is a district.
It sounds like there is. That's...
Well, is legal working on finding that out?
I'll follow up with her.
I've done all kinds of research on this. I don't recall what the outcome was, but I know I had pulled up all kinds of minutes on this. And I thought it came into play when they did the last part of the drainage down there.
It came up at the meeting, but because it was backed up so bad and completely plugged, they wanted to get it fixed, so we went and fixed it. We had it fixed. Because, I mean, it was...
Oh, we've already done work down there?
Three years ago. There was about 14, almost the top of the manhole covers, all the whole length of it. So
filled with water?
Yeah. And that was backing up into every house. That's why we did it the last time.
I think I saved all of my research, so I'll just pull it back
out. So, Jeffrey, we got to come back to that based on... what we find. So depending on what we find, what's the board's pleasure if we have to foot the bill? Well, I mean, if there isn't a mechanism for us to collect it, it's going to come out of fund balance.
I don't know if I understand the question, but let me just see if I do. If there's technically a district, then we might not be able to pay for it out of fund balance because...
Well, that's the concern.
That's the second part of the question. So I don't know what our options are yet. But if we're responsible for it and it's not doing the job it's supposed to be doing and people are suffering, then if it's our responsibility, we need to take care of it.
Okay. So we'll do some work on that and kind of circle back around.
I just...
So I guess we will leave it as is indicated there for now. Anything else under drainage?
Nope.
Next one, Jeff.
The highway section. So, starting really with DB 5110.
The highway union employees, their request was for $378,000, and the reason that is higher than the $323,663 that we had in the adopted budget is that the new figure would include two entry-level laborers at highway. And we can come back to that for conversation if you want. I'll just go down to the page, and then we'll come back. Drywell's, Paul had requested $3,000. I left that in there. I actually left all his requests in. Marking paint at $500. Tree removal at $8,000. Miscellaneous at $700. Road materials for shoulders at $11,000. Guardrails road safety at $7,000. Culverts at $3,000 for a total of $33,200. Going back to the two employees that I have in the budget, one of the reasons that I thought it was a good idea to include it in there is that it's been well over a decade since there's been additional staff at Highway. The town has held off in expanding the labor force down there so that we could fund other parts of that budget that the boards at the time thought were a priority. If you look at the request for equipment for this year, you'll see that I shaved it pretty heavily so that we could fund these two positions. So I put them in the budget. So I don't know how the board feels about having additional two laborers down there.
No, we've added a lot more roads to cover, I think. Do you have any sense of how much we've added in that time period without adding staff?
In the decade, there's got to be at least, it doesn't sound like a lot, but I say there's probably 6 miles. Mm-hmm. But when you start doing the maintenance on it and the plowing.
Yeah.
I know when I started 20 years ago, our plow routes were anywhere from 2.5 to 3 hours, and now we're at 3.5 to 4.
Yeah. I think we've run pretty lean down there for quite a while, and you had some cuts, and he didn't come to the table with a lot of large expense requests either, so I think you feel strong about getting these additional resources. I'm a fan of it.
This will relieve you having the assistant when you're plowing also, correct? You use these fellas?
It'll help keep all the trucks out. You know, if somebody's off or out, I'm still going to need a part-timer, you know, for a win.
Okay.
But, yes, it will relieve a lot of pressure, especially for plowing.
So that figure includes what was negotiated and approved by the bargaining unit and the town for entry for labor two, is that what you call them, or labor one?
Labor one.
Labor ones when they come into the town, some town's employee. So that's, and that includes benefits as well, right?
It does. Well, it's not here. It's in the
somewhere.
It's
okay.
The 9,000.
All right. So we'll leave that in there at this point in time if everybody's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's next?
Next page.
Highway improvement, DB 5112. So this would be, if you recall, the feeder road culvert. We had budgeted for it in the 2019 adopted budget at $284,230. If you recall, as part of the permitting process, there was a limited window in when we could do the work. By the time we got the permit, that window had closed.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, we are hopeful that we can get a $50,000 grant from Saratoga County, which will help offset some of those expenses. So what we did is, instead of doing the work this year, we put it on hold and put the plan to do it next year. And so Paul has the has requested it at $334,560. So I plugged it into the budget at that figure. And obviously,
can we put the $284,000 that we didn't spend into a capital fund of some sort?
So that'll go in the fund balance. We don't spend it this year for anything else that we can spend DB funds on.
Is that the same as a capital fund balance?
Not exactly.
Separate?
A capital fund balance ties up into perpetuity the use for that. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather have the flexibility to have it in fund balance in case we have another need for along the way.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
I know there were some fund balances that we would need to keep an eye on not growing too fast.
Right. Let's see.
I was more thinking of a capital project budget or fund. I thought there were separate funds for capital projects.
So we've got tax stabilization reserve, and we do have a capital fund for equipment purchases for highway, don't we?
For highway, we do.
Yes. Yeah. So you're talking about the highway equipment fund? Is that what you're talking about?
I thought, we don't need to go deep in this right now. I thought there were some suggestions when we went through the last audit of possibly creating some capital reserve fund accounts. But I'm good with this right now.
Well, we're gonna spend the funds. We're just not doing it this year. We're doing it next year. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're coming out of fund balance, either way.
Well, no, we had funded for it in 2019, just that we didn't use the money.
Mm-hmm.
So the money will be technically go back in for 2020 in the fund balance, but we're already relying on it to come back out. Am I accurate on that? For 2020?
Yes. So any unexpended funds in 2019 will go into the fund balance. And then if you choose to use fund balance for 2020, that money will still be there. You could tie it up into a reserve, which is what you're saying, just for capital improvements, but if you do that, it cannot be used for anything else.
Understood. Okay.
I just learned something.
We're here to educate.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so I've got, Paul has in $3,000 for crack seal. I'll let that in. Cold in place recycling, $78,400. I left that in. Blacktop, Nova Chip at $391,045. That remained the same as Paul's request. Anything else on that page, Paul?
No.
Any comments, questions?
Mm-hmm. 5130.
This is highway machinery. Under equipment, Paul had requested $502,474 in new equipment, which he has itemized on one of the sheets that should be included in your budget book. I modified that to $257,003. We can go through that list here.
You can see a lot of that, by the way, at the very bottom of the page. On the 2020 request versus
All right, so we can go down right down to that right now. Paul had requested a new tandem dump truck with plow. This is single axle. Okay. Is this something that has to be replaced this year?
It's replacing the Mac that I just put another $1,000 in the other day.
Okay.
It's not long for the world.
So he had requested that truck at $210,450. I left that in.
You want to replace just the mowers and
yeah,
the tractor?
Yeah, so Paul had requested two new flail mowers. Well, one's the extended arm, the other one's off the side of the tractor, and a new tractor. And I left in just the mowers themselves, which cut that request from $122,120 down to $42,185. And part of my line of thinking on that, as I mentioned earlier on the other count, you know, trying to help the highway budget from the standpoint that we're adding staffing down there. You know, obviously, if the tractor's in good shape, you can get more years out of that with a new mower on it. I don't know how many hours are on that.
No.
But we bought that new tractor new.
It's an OE.
Yeah. So the hours aren't too bad. And it runs fine.
Runs fine. It's got a few oil leaks that need some major. One of them, you have to split the tractor.
Mm-hmm. So you just keep adding oil in.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And I've got tracked for the Bobcat skid steer.
Nope.
No?
No.
Yeah, oh, you're right.
Wrong line. A water tank to put in one of the trucks, because we have no way when we have to do a pump out or even for paving of hauling water. So right now we have a little 500-gallon tank, and when you're paving, you go through that, and you're constantly running.
Paul had requested a hot box for patching roads at $29,536. I did not include that. Update to the loader down there at $38,000. I did not include that. And then the live bottom trailer for the tractor down there at $98,000. I did not include that. But I did include a 50,000-pound service jack.
That was last year.
That's last year.
You're jumping over to this year.
Blower.
A power
blower.
And a blower.
Jeffrey, you're saving paper here. I'm looking at the wrong column. $699 and a blower at $469. So the total requested by Paul was $502,474, and the amount funded in this budget right now is $257,003. If anybody has questions, comments.
I'm wondering about what's the hot box for patching roads? What is that?
It's a box you take like road grindings and stuff, and you put it in there overnight, and you add just a little bit of I'll call it tar, just so it's easier to say, and then it warms it up, and you're putting down hot material instead of cold material, so it stays in the hole longer, and it's like a permanent patch more.
Okay. How about the loader? What is that loader update?
The loader update's taking a 5-year-old loader and updating it to a new loader. You get it with a trade in, you know.
Okay.
Because about not this year, but probably the following year, we'll be putting like tires on it and stuff. Everything starts adding up then.
Mm-hmm. And the live bottom trailer, what would you use that for?
Between hauling sand, blacktop, gravel, and you're hauling more tonnage with one vehicle.
Do you have a vehicle that hauls that?
Yeah, I have a tractor. It's what we use to haul the equipment trailer, the paver, and the roller.
Okay.
Anyone else? Paul?
How's my Let's Make a Deal list?
What else?
DD-5140.
Highway miscellaneous brush and weeds. I think I put in everything you requested, which was $400 for landscaping, $2,700 for miscellaneous, and for weed control, guide rail signs, and fences, $750.
Which is always the same this year.
Any questions for John?
Nope.
Highway snow removal.
Breath, everybody.
DB-5142. Pray for rain.
No.
No, because we're replacing
that's the frozen rain down at that time here. It's frozen.
We were talking about highway guys. Okay, so for gasoline and diesel. Paul had requested 70. I shaved 5,000 off of that based on last year's numbers. And for road salt, Paul had requested 180. We funded 160 last year. I bumped it up to 170, but it was still 10,000 less than what Paul requested. Sand, he had requested 7,500. I shaved that down to 7,000. And a lot of that was based on our usage for last year. And I think you have those numbers right in here. So for gasoline and diesel, for last or year to date, what did you do it?
Through August 31st.
Okay.
We've got 26,000 used, 26,000 used.
Yeah. So we could open some POs in this year's budget before the end of the year.
Yeah, I've got one in for the meeting now.
Yeah, which will help this budget. And we still, you know, it's pretty close to where we were last year. Actually, it's identical to what was adopted last year for gasoline. Road salt, we adopted 160,000 last year. Paul's requesting extra 20,000. I put in 170,000 based on our usage from last year.
We're at 157,000, but that includes 30,000 carryover from last year.
So I think we're in the ballpark now.
How are we looking for now until through December?
You have to ask somebody up there.
How much salt do you have in your salt barn right now?
Right now, before we start hauling sand, because you mix a little bit of sand to keep it from freezing, I got 3/4 of a shed, but by the time I'm done, it'll be maybe half a shed.
By the end of December?
By the time we're done hauling sand.
Okay.
And I got 12,000, I think, left for salt right now.
And don't we have don't we have contingency in there too for this year or somewhere in the budget?
Contingency? We don't generally have contingency for highway. That would be DB 1990.4, but we don't have anything in contingent.
Okay. Oh, and for sand, I shaved 500 out of that, but I think the number used year to date was a lot lower than that.
Sand?
Oh, yeah,
sand.
No
movement
on sand.
Yeah, so we'll just start on right now.
But we can't get the sand locally from Cranesville or something like that, right? Because they don't have the sand we need.
Cranesville doesn't produce the sand we need anymore. They just do Mason sand.
I don't think they bid either.
They didn't bid this year.
They didn't bid this year. So, thoughts? Comments?
Well, only that you indicated that some of the monies that they used for this year's salt came from last year's budget, but the expenditure for this year is at $159,000?
Including that amount, yes.
Including that amount. Okay. All right.
Everybody okay?
I'm thinking about the math and that in that $159,000, If he's got 3/4 of a shed of salt, the value of that, would that be greater than $180,000 or would it be less than $180,000? How do I put it? I'll try to reword it. The salt that he has this year, the monies that he spent this year for salt, use some of the money from last year. Is he going to wind up being short with the salt this year or for next year's budget because he doesn't have that extra monies to work with?
It depends. I know, Paul, you were saying that this year snow was used a lot, correct?
This year,
this
past winter that we just went through, we had a lot more snow. Well, not as much ice. When you go back to 2018, we spent $236,000
right.
in salt.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what Mother Nature throws at us. If
yep.
it's going to be snow, or freezing rain, or if it's just going to be a nice mild winter. You know, I'd rather have a mild winter. But
oh yeah, no.
You can put any number in.
Yeah,
there.
You can put in.
But you got to remember, we're funding this budget with sales tax.
What I'm looking at is when we get through this month and halfway through November, I'll be able to see if what I have left on any accounts, and maybe that's what I did last year. Remember, I rolled $60,000 out of payment.
Yeah, and you had a cost savings this year in payment.
I still got a little something to do, but yeah, there's some savings there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Everybody okay? John, you okay?
Yep.
All right. Anything else under DB 5142?
Yeah, that's about it.
And yeah, the highway 40 benefits. That's pretty much set. Anything else for us, Paul?
I have nothing more.
Anybody else have anything for Paul?
I try to keep everything pretty much flat, except for a few.
Yeah, good work. Appreciate it.
I like to work. I like to work together, not against each other. That's for sure.
Awesome.
You got what you need.
Yeah.
Well, we can work with it.
Good. Appreciate it. Good. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, I got to admit, first time. 10 years, it only took an hour.
There used to be a lot of back
and forth, wasn't it?
And then you had to come back and
Oh, no, thank you very much. One crap, one bite of the apple.
No, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Alrighty, so we've got Monroe Community Center out there, let me know.
I'll go grab her. A8060.
I'm sorry,
8060.
I got zeros across the board.
You're on the wrong page.
No.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
How are we?
Good.
Everybody knows Hello? Jack Hills, right?
Jack Hills.
On my board. You wanted to see what this was all about?
Uh-huh.
So come along.
How are you doing, sir?
Good evening.
Hit Bobart.
Hey, Kyle.
All right.
How are you?
Good.
Do you guys need copies of what I sent, or do you have?
Oh, everybody should have a copy.
Got it.
So everybody can find it.
The page after.
So we're on account 8060, which is the community center. And under contractual for Monroe Community Center, I think you have always only requested 2%.
We've always only requested 2%, at least since I've been with the agency. And we're daring to ask for four this year,
right,
and just to have a conversation about it.
Yeah,
only
so
because we're getting killed with minimum wage increases.
Right. So, as you can see from the Monroe Community Center Board of Directors' request, they're looking for the 4% based on minimum wage increases that will be taking effect January 1 of this year, of 2020. Health insurance increases. And also, you have no longer have access to one of your grants.
Yeah, we had a large 5-year district grant, which was district funds came from the feds through the state government, and that was basically a healthcare program that we had. And they're changing the entire way that your bill for medical services, basically, and you'll hear a lot of people talking about value-based payment. And so since we're a community-based organization, we provide a lot of what they call social determinants. You know, people can't be healthy if they can't put food on their table, if they don't have a roof over their head, those kinds of things. So we were getting quite a bit of money through that grant. As you can see, in 2018, we got $52,000. And this year we got about 57. Next year we won't have that grant at all. So between that, the about $34,000 increase in minimum wage over the last 3.5 years is what we've been impacted. And Gina knows this because our summer camp was actually used to kind of be our cash cow. That was where we, you know, got all of our. We're fairly broke even this year. And The big problem is we don't want to pass the cost on to our families, and that's what would happen. You know, we're not McDonald's, and we can't raise the price of our burgers, but we want to be, you know, have have camp and kids' corners still be affordable for our folks. So that's where we are. I mean, can we do it on 2%? Probably, but not easy.
So in keeping with, you know, the situation the town is in, the tax cap,
yeah.
I had put in 2% for the figure with for the increase for 2020, which equates to $5,626. A 4% increase would result in $11,252. You know, I, depending on where the rest of the board would like to be on it, being sensitive to our 2% cap,
sure.
You know, I'd be happy to split the difference on that.
Which would with be three?
Which would be over $7,000 instead of $5,626. That helps you.
Any kind of help. We would appreciate that, yeah. And I mean, and again, this is, we're not expecting to, you know, if we get a 3%, they should have come back and want 3 next year. You know, this is, we'd like to get back on our 2%.
So if we gave you 4 this year, would you do a flat budget for 4 more years?
I wish I had a crystal ball.
Just thought I'd throw it out.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we
were trying to invest in your future.
I see.
Okay.
Oh,
nice. We can see what the future looks like.
Yeah.
So how's the board feel on that?
Can we do the 3 and then start, come back and see if there's anything to give it extra after, if we have anything to do that with? I mean, all the programs you mentioned are amazing programs for our community. I mean, I think the price is right, you know, for people to take advantage of them.
Yeah,
so see an increase in that would be pretty hard for some of these families with multiple children in these camps. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, we've only bumped our summer camp in 10 years twice
right.
in the rates, and it's still only $130 every week.
Small increase.
You can't,
right.
we can't get another program for that.
Well, we do 4%, and you lease the old town hall for a 5-year contract.
I knew you were going to get that in there. We are going to use it again for holidays this year and pay the utilities. Honestly, we can have more conversation about that because we're, you know, the board talks about it. We're in a position where we're busting at our seams, and we want to be able to expand our programming, and we can't do it on site. You know, and where the old town hall is, unfortunately, it has a lot of the same problems that we already have, parking, accessibility, you know, but it's close,
mm-hmm.
and there could be things we could do there. I mean, we do talk about it. You know, we would just have to really, if we were really going to consider it, we'd have to really sit down and drill down deep and see, you know, what would we be taking on in terms of overhead.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no question parking is an issue, especially
exactly.
with Joy Store Leading. But one of the ideas I had is on, what's the ferry that goes, what's it on the corner? Hudson and.
It's on Hudson and
Fifth. On the Fifth side, you know, you could cut in onto the
yes.
lawn and do diagonal parking through there for not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have to do a curb cut there. And you could probably get. I don't know how long that property
eight,
is.
Maybe 8.
You know, but
I mean,
that's for we can talk
it's
about.
Right, but I do think it's you know, it's not left our radar in terms
right.
of having conversations. About
well, it just made
what we could
overall
do
it would make that building more marketable if you had
mm-hmm.
that kind of parking. But anyway,
okay.
So we're okay with 3% for now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Anything else? Questions for me? No? Good. Yes, ma'am.
Second Monday of the month, 5:30.
Third.
I always say I'm, and I couldn't for a while, and then it fell off my radar.
Third Monday. So we have a meeting next Monday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 5:30. We'd love to see you.
I know I was coming, and then it seemed like every month, and I thought, oh my God.
Yeah, because you. I mean, pretty much we have a new board since you've been there.
Yeah.
I think I only have a couple people on it that were on before. All right, thank you.
Good seeing you.
Good seeing you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
Now we're back on track.
Shall we? You bet. See, we didn't take up too much of time. Do you want me to send the other guys in? Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Next up is Moreau Emergency Squad. That's ambulance A4540.
4540?
Listed as ambulance? I wasn't thinking it was.
Oh, we're going back on track.
All right, A45.
Yeah, well, who did they bring them in there?
Yep. So we're on account A4540, which is ambulance. And last year we funded Moreau EMS at $235,835. The request this year was for $275,000. And I did a 2% figure in there, $240,348. And that was essentially to keep us in line with the tax cap for us, which I think we had not much wiggle room with the tax cap. So I did 2%.
What's that put it at, 240?
So it would be an additional...
What was the number you
had? It would, I'm sorry, go ahead.
243.48.
248. So in addition to that, I bumped up the amount the town would keep in reserve for future expansion to $15,000. Last year's figure, we had provided the funding through contract of $235,635 with $10,000 in there. And that would be reserved strictly for building any building expansion purpose. And I know you had asked for an increase of almost 17%, so you must have a reason for that.
So well, that was just reinstating. A lot of it's reinstating from the the budget that was cut out years back, but. We haven't moved anywhere with our expansion, so the biggest thing is I need to, obviously if we expand, I need the town behind us 100%. So the payments are going to be very high. They're going to be like $12,000. So that's where I would need the town to be behind me, 100%. But
Steve, could you update the board? And I know you and I chat on a regular basis, but where you are in the building expansion with funding and the approvals?
We have approvals from the lead. Who is the lead down there in the government? Is that
Kerry Warner?
As far as Daphne Jordan, we don't have because it's led by the Democrats. That I called and talked to them. We don't really have that set money. I mean, it's still allocated, but the Democrats control it. Whatever that means, it doesn't mean nothing to me, Democrat, Republican. However, we still have the money allocated there. As far as USDA, we are
in the pre-application, I just got an email from Gretchen Pinnacle, and she's trying to make the numbers work, and it's still in her ballpark. She wanted to put another set of eyes on it to see where we are and make sure the numbers, and that's the biggest thing I need from the town, is to make sure that, you know, we're going to be able to afford that payment, which obviously, before we do any building, you know, I would have to make sure the town can, you know, the town, and we can make the payments. But
do you have a mortgage on the facility now?
Just on the property next door. Just that we pay it every month.
And how much is that?
The payment or the total?
Both the monthly payment.
The monthly payment is $2,296, and the payoff is $319,000.
That's the piece of land where you tore down the house?
Yep, next door.
And that's third year?
Yes.
So when you say $12,000, that's going to include...
That was rough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was just a rough number.
Would that include what you're already paying for the land?
Yes, that would be included in that USDA.
So basically, it's going to be the expansion. The mortgage on the expansion would cost $10,000 a month.
Roughly,
yeah.
And what's the dollar amount on that expansion right now?
Right now, it's 3.4.
And what's
3.3, somewhere in that region.
And what kind of interest did you figure into that?
I think it would. She say it was 4.
It was just under 4, I think.
Yeah.
When you say
it changes,
you want the town. You want to be sure about the town. Do you mean you want to be sure about the town giving you more money, or you just
right.
want to be sure of your current payment?
We want to be sure that, you know. Obviously, the emergency squad is not going nowhere, so we just, in order to, you know, make sure we can make those payments monthly, you know, that's what I'm looking at.
How much money?
Those payments.
You want us to pay the $10,000 a month?
Well, I want, you know, I want to be financially secure to make those payments, yeah.
So the only way you're financially secure is if we pay 100% of the payments?
Or, I mean, we've done our fundraising, but... Nobody wants to, yeah, we've tried to raise as much money as we can, and we're going to continue to raise, but nobody wants to, you know, donate toward, you know, a building. They would rather see it go toward a piece of equipment. So that's why we kind of, you know, changed our motion and went toward, like, our new fly car. We got a grant for that. We got money for a new Lucas. You know, we got money for that. You know, people wanted to donate to that, but they wouldn't. So that's where our fundraising, you know, turned. Will it go back to there? I mean, that's up to the membership to decide. So
you want us to pay for $3.4 million on the building before interest?
Sure.
I'm not saying okay, I'm for it. I
agree.
Sorry, I knew you didn't get real excited there. I figured you understood.
Yeah, no, you know, I mean...
I just want to know...
Obviously, you know, I'm going to ask Northumberland, but all I can do is ask and present my case, you know? I mean, that's...
Yes.
I think we'll definitely, you know, this 240, I mean, can I work with it? I can, but... Obviously, you guys know that the town's growing. So anytime the town grows, you know, the aging population, our call volume has gone up. When it goes up, it costs money. It costs money to answer calls. It costs money to have those vehicles out answering calls. Our building is 25 years old right now. I've been there 24 years, so... It was there a year before me. The roof is going to need work. I just had a guy over working on the roof last week. I'm assuming, you know, it's going to start costing money to replace it. So if you go in our station, you can see up in the ceiling where all the insulation is, it's starting to get like dark cracked, and also our heaters that are out in the bay, they're beyond their life expectancy. So knock on wood, we haven't had any problems with them at all. I'm just working on getting a preventative maintenance contract on them. But I haven't had any problems with them. So,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Maybe we should have spoken before, but what do you project your yearly profit would be this year on your part that's not the volunteer side?
You mean the pay set?
Well, no, your business runs as it's a partially like it's a business for whomever is the direct, right? Is it Andre's business ultimately? And then, but explain how it runs just in flat terms, because you have a volunteer side, yep, and then you have like a for profit side. Correct? You have two sides of this business?
Not for profit at all. So we're 501c3.
Okay.
We are not for
so
profit.
There's no.
They have paid employees.
We have paid staff.
Right. Okay.
But it's nothing to do with this budget you're dealing with.
But profit. I get that. So, but there's got to. You're making money somewhere. You make no money.
I. Yeah.
The billings usually pretty much just cover the payroll.
Okay, so you guys are flat every year. Yeah,
it's not. If there's a profit, it'd be very small.
Okay.
Probably $5,000.
Oh, okay, I guess I wasn't aware.
And it fluctuates, you know, as far as goes up a little bit in the billings, but then the number of hours that they got to pay part-time staff goes up too as the number of calls go up.
Right. And I can't speak for the rest of the board, but I would have to think if this board were ever to agree to pay a $3.4 million for the board, the town would own that building. I mean, I would have to think it would be a town-owned building at that point, But I don't know if that's business. But again, can't speak for the rest of the board.
Steve, I guess, are you listening?
Yeah, thanks.
So I'm looking at the 2020 budget, and I'm looking at the town of Northumberland. So am I reading this correctly, that town of Northumberland funded you at $87,000 last year? 2019, or this year, I should say, 2019.
I
don't think that's quite there.
Is that what you will receive per contract this year?
That's just what they asked for.
Right.
In 19.
And they give us...
So tell me, where would I find what you actually got?
I'd have to look at the contract. It'd be in the audit.
Do we have a copy of that in here?
Don't copy the audit?
I do at the station, but I don't have it with me.
We don't have a copy of it. We have the fire companies in the back. So, yes.
I give you the copy of the audit, though.
This monthly?
No, the audit.
Oh, yeah, we get it annually, yeah. So I'm just trying to figure out what your real expenses were for 2019 and what your revenue was. Are these estimated expenses?
They are. Yep.
So what are your real ones? Where would I find your real ones?
In the audit, right?
For 19, you
won't have them.
19, they're still in progress.
Right.
Just like our budget.
But you must... You
19, do. You've got that. You've got to... I just don't have the copy of the year-to-date.
Right.
That's what you're looking for.
Well, we just did a statement for the USDA. When was that? As of July or August?
That was July.
So we could send a copy over of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you know, tell me about, looks like you had asked for money to be set aside by Northumberland for building expansion. And this year's contract for 2019, did they agree to do that?
No.
Did they put any money aside?
Nope.
So they want the services, but that's where they draw the line.
I don't have budget workshop meetings with them. I've never had to go down there like I do here.
Because they rely on us, is what
they told me when I called down there a couple of years ago. They rely on us to do the audit.
I mean, I'm willing to go down there.
I'm just trying to figure out how they come up with their numbers. They base it on a percentage of.
I think they just. I think Bill just puts in 2%.
And nothing for building expansion.
Right.
Okay. And if we're looking at $3.4 million in cost, once you add that interest to it, we can assume it's two or three times that, conservatively. I mean, that kind of goes with a house, if you're buying a house, by the time you look at what you pay on.
Mortgage, yeah.
So you're looking at like $10 million, as opposed to $3.4 million that you're looking for the town to commit to.
Steve, does your current expansion plans, if you were to move forward with them, how does that address your maintenance and that you have to? How does it address the current footprint of the existing building?
We put those into that loan, right?
Yeah.
There was and USDA, we had to do like a 5-year maintenance problem into it. So
on your existing building?
Yeah.
So these issues you were just referring to, roof and
so the new expansion. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the new expansion would be where the house was. So it's going to be done in three phases. So that phase of that project would be on that property. Then, you know, we'd move over there, and then they're going to refurbish the current building. Mm-hmm. The current building, you know, by then it's going to work.
As far as numbers, can you provide an overview for the board regarding the third-party billing? You know, have those numbers increased? Are they flat?
Call volume?
No. You derive revenue. I think the town board sets the rate.
Yeah.
Can you tell us where the numbers are compared year-to-date compared to last year? Are you ahead? Or are you behind?
I think we are right even. I mean, we, as far as Myra, she bills out, and we do send people to collections after, you know, about 6 months or 8 months. It takes a while, but she's got a process where she, you'll see them.
Yeah.
That's a report right there.
Yeah. So actually, that's not too bad. I think you're characterizing as bad debt can range from zero to $2,400 on a particular month. With some at $320.
Medicaid, somewhere. Medicare rates are, you know, it hasn't changed, really.
So what's the plan that the squad has? You know, if the town is unable to be involved in that kind of financing for you.
The station?
Yeah, the expansion.
We're just going to continue to do what we do. I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, I've been working on for, you know, 6 years, 4 years, four and a half years. So, I mean, obviously, if it's not going to work, and I've cut the project back as much as I could, you know, and I don't know, you know, I just, sometimes I get frustrated about it, but, you know, I just keep doing, you know, we just do what we do every day, so.
One of the challenges for the town, at least along the lines of your request, is that as a separate and distinct not-for-profit, I don't know if legally we can be involved and basically guaranteeing, you know, financial payments that equate to whatever the building expansion is going to be.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we have a board every 2 years, there's been a potential for change.
Oh, yeah.
And we cannot bind, legally, we cannot bind future boards.
Sure.
On something like that. So I don't even know that, I don't think that's a possibility.
How about the impact fees?
So the impact, I know we've talked about that. I've had conversations with town attorney on that. I don't have a definitive answer. I hope to have one before the budget process is wrapped up.
I know when this issue came up several years ago, I don't think it was good news, but you know, we're trying to verify that.
Okay.
So that leads me to probably the pressing question right now is, we've got a 2% increase over last year for funding from the town for your contract. We've also included in that $15,000 as a set aside. If you, which you don't have access to unless you do the building expansion.
Correct.
This year. I don't know how the board feels, but if you wanted to do away with the $15,000 set aside, you know, we could go to 3%. I'd be willing to go to 3%. I don't know what the board wants to do.
Let me ask a question, if I could.
Yeah.
It helped me a lot. What monies, besides the $10,000 that we gave you in 2019, do you have set aside for the building?
I have $100,000. And then I got the
number for next year.
What do you call it? The grant from
Kerry Warner. Okay, so you have some money.
Yeah. Currently I have going back to Todd. We are good for this year right now. I mean, right now I can tell you I have $34,000 in the town of Monroe account. I have, and that's going to be $26,000 that we pay out in the 3 months before we renew. I have roughly $2,000 in the general fund, and I mean, are we all right there? I mean, we are, but does it put me on edge? It does, because, you know, if I need, you know, emergency money for something, ambulance breaks down, if I have to replace a stretcher, or you have to replace, you know, a piece of equipment, I don't know. I'm okay. I'm okay taking that $15,000, and which do you have any feeling about it?
I think we're good. I'd say I would probably leave that set aside for building expansion.
Okay.
So stay at 2% and put the $15,000
in. I would say that.
Right. I mean, 240 is good, but just remember, you know, it just, if I, you know, God forbid, if I need another ambulance, you know, it does. I didn't allocate for it in there, so, but, you know, I have no problem coming back, and I know you guys didn't budget for it. We don't anticipate no problems, but, you know.
Okay. Well, how's
everybody else feel? Okay?
If you're comfortable with the 2% and leave the 15, I'd leave it like that. I would tell you what you probably already know, just from where I'm sitting, I'd give some serious thought to the expansion, because the plan doesn't sound like it's ever going to make sense in its model, right? We're not going to be in a position to fund
exactly
a $10 million project or whatever the number ends up being.
And you know what? I'll take any suggestions you guys got. And it doesn't have to be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be 6 months down the road, you know, because obviously, we're, you know,
yeah.
I'm trying to do what we can, and
well, I was happy to hear you had some money saved. That question was asked for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it shows you're making an attempt.
And
I didn't know the number. So
and again, you know, our fundraiser will probably go back to that. But, you know, who, that's what we heard from Lapa back when we had them years ago. You know, it's hard because who wants to put money toward, you know, debt? Mm-hmm. They would rather see it go toward, you know, an item.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Supervisor, if I have a question here for you, that suggestion of the possibility of taking 15 out and adding another percent, right? Would next year, would we consider putting some more money aside and up add 2%?
Totally up to the board.
Right, true. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, it's $2,000, it's roughly $2,700 more if you take 3%. If you're not going to get a building expansion done this year, you're never going to touch that $15,000 anyways.
Right.
But you might at least get an additional $2,700 on top of that.
You need that, though, to show the USDA.
Oh, the 15. You need the $15,000 funding. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I was just trying.
Yeah, because we put that in there, right?
Okay. Fair enough.
What you're saying,
okay. I didn't realize that was part of the USDA paperwork.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
If you're happy, it sounds like you're accepting acceptance of that. So
I appreciate the time working with us. So
I wish I had another answer for you.
Yeah, no. I wish I had an answer, and trust me, I've lost a lot of sleep thinking about it. So I don't know what to do. But what do I make a smaller station? I mean, it's not like it's...
We have downsized that.
Yeah. I mean, I've downsized it as much as I can. It was it was two stories. I took it off, and the second story, and it is what it is. I mean, obviously, everybody knows, you know, building costs are not going down. They're going up. So new construction costs more than what the revamp of the old station will cost.
Is there any value in the land that you bought next door?
Not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. Jeff?
Any value in it?
Well, I mean, are you better off?
You got a little equity.
Are you better off maybe doing something with your existing building instead of trying to build new?
It's all one. We've looked at relocating. We've looked around the town, relocating everywhere. There's no really option.
Would you like to establish a satellite station that has a garage and a couple of rooms?
I was thinking that.
We'll work in your contract over here.
Where's that?
You pass it on your way out of town.
Yeah, the house at the front.
Oh, yeah.
We'll modify the garage so the ambulance can get out.
The sheriff's department doesn't want it.
You talked about space for training. I don't think it'll give you more than your big room that you have, but that was one of the things you cited for your...
Yeah, that was part of it. I don't know. It is tight in there while we're doing training, but, I mean, obviously you've been there. You know, our room, our officer room, our office is quite cramped.
That's our big thing, is office space and vehicle space. We already have a vehicle parked outside.
Right.
If you talk to the community center, they have that huge room. They share it regularly. If you could use that for training and then use your room that you use for training for some of your office space and some of your needs.
I think the biggest thing would be, you know, having to move everything down there, move it back, you know, like our mannequins, like our ALS and space and kids. I mean, I'm sure that's, you know, something that right now we have them in the meeting room, but they're all in a what is that? Like a work group.
Oh, yes. Like a toolbox.
Yeah, toolbox. That's on
it's got training equipment.
Yeah. I couldn't think of the word.
Okay, anybody else?
Not at this time.
No, everybody's good. Steve? Any questions, comments? Nothing?
I think I'm good. Are you?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thanks for coming in. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Robert.
Appreciate the dialogue.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You too.
All right.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Take care.
There
you
go. See you. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. I'll get you guys.
Come
here. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to
it.
You have a lot here.
All right. Absolutely.
Can I
Express Station. It's the first in the miscellaneous section of your binders.
What number?
Come on in, Ted. Have a seat right next to me.
Transfer Station is the TS section. It's in the miscellaneous.
TS 19.
1990. Nothing but zeros. Moving on.
Oh, we're done. Thank you. Hi, Ted.
Hi, Ted.
Did you study up for tonight?
No.
We're just going to go through the accounts here, and I'll tell you what I did. And first one is miscellaneous, which is 1990, which is really easy. That's a transfer station contingent account, which is not funded and hasn't been at least since 2014. Next one is a transfer station TS 8160. And we have in for laborers, part-time clerks, total request was $92,115, which is what I put in there. And that includes 2%, I think. Is that accurate, Jeffrey?
Yes.
For those employees down there, which is about $2,115 more than last year. Under equipment, we had budgeted $2,000 for security cameras down there for 2019. That purchase has not been made for some logistics reasons, but I know that I think our IT folks are going to be taking that.
We can spend that.
What's that?
We could spend that.
Yeah, so one of the things I think we could do is, with some suggestions, purchase the equipment, camera equipment, and then we could do IT funding out of the 2020 budget to make sure that it's going somewhere, basically, and being recorded. Totally up to the board. We can talk about that later. Ted had requested a handheld blower for blowing debris off the dock there, $150. I have that in, $150. There was also, Ted had requested $15,000, is that the right number?
Yes.
For a shed to be built over the 20-yard containers. Because this is a user fee-based fund, I pulled it out. That's a lot of money.
Art.
What's that?
It's Art.
Yeah, he does a great job. I had pulled it out because that was an awful lot of money for what it accomplishes down there. You know, we've looked at other ways to cover those open tops. I think we actually expended funds. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, we put some canvas or covers over on for this.
Yeah, because they're beat. The covers are beat. So if you need new covers, the wind comes off the west, and I pull them out of parking lot, highway parking lot,
they don't
two or three times.
They don't ratchet them down?
Yeah, they ratchet down.
Ratchet them down, and the wind pulls them on.
They pull them.
They're not using bungees, right? You're using ratchets.
Yeah.
With straps.
Yeah, they're strapped down.
That's pretty strong wind.
Yeah, it is. It is strong.
We should put windmills.
I think that the buildings, before I put the covers on, we're losing $5,000 a year because of the snow and the ice into them, what they were paying for it.
They're paying for the weight when they haul them.
Right. Yeah. So the reason that I took them out is because if I have to increase the budget by $15,000, I got to pass those costs on to the users, which means we have to do another price increase on garbage down there. And I myself am not willing to do an increase down there at this point in time.
I really don't think it's necessary. I mean, as far as the bag go, we had, 90,000 bags last year, and we, with the $45,000 extra we got, you know, putting up 50 cents a bag. We're at 70,000, or maybe, I don't even think we're a couple hundred bags short right now than we did last year. So we're at least 35,000 ahead at that point.
So along those lines, we've got some unknowns moving into the future. I did get confirmation that the town will be getting its $35,000 grant from the county again next year. Remember, it wasn't budgeted for this year. Some supervisors made a little noise, and we got the money. But that is always a potential to be gone at any time, number one. Number two, we need to have a capital reserve down there, and I don't think we've established it yet, for that compactor. I was on the board when I did the math and showed that the new compactor, if we moved forward, what it could pay for itself in 4 years was increased tonnage. And at some point in time, we're going to have to replace that again. And I think back then it was $83,000. So we don't have enough capital reserve. If we're going to rely on the extra money that's available in that fund, we don't have it for those definite costs that are coming down the road. So that's why I'm looking at this critically for the $18,000 shed down there.
Okay, and I got to put in for a new set of covers for them. The covers are cracked.
They're like, what, $1,800?
They're deep. $1,000?
A piece?
Each or total? Total?
Pardon me?
For both or each?
Well, I think we could work with one of them, one of the sets. But no, it's $1,000 each set.
So you're just looking for a roof over it? Why can't our guys put a roof up down there?
Well, it's like those salt sheds there. The highway has. They would back them into there. I mean, there'll be up high enough for them to get the loader in, to push the...
Oh, you want that high? It's like,
yeah, you got to be able to do that with them.
We should be.
If you had a flat slanted roof and some 5/6s or 4x4s.
Yeah.
So you're talking you need it high enough to be able to fit a decent sized bucket on a payload.
Yeah.
And on top of this thing.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't know.
This is already 5 feet tall, isn't it? Or 6 feet tall? 5 feet, probably.
And yeah, then. Do we want to encourage use of the open tops? Because it costs an arm and a leg to do an open top versus one coming out of the compactor. It's just not compressed.
These are for C&D. What are these two for?
Like sofas and mattresses and things
mattresses,
like that.
Mattresses, couches, chairs. A lot of them don't take them. I mean, I've got them coming from Boston Spa with them.
I'll take them.
Saratoga.
Yeah.
These are two bins that refer to C&D. You have the guys sorted a little bit, but... And then it's hauled out, and we're charged by the weight?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we covering all of our costs?
Oh, yeah. We're ahead of them. We're ahead of them at least. So I give you the paper every month.
Mm-hmm. So we're doing a better job of, like, going out and looking what's in the back of what someone's printing in?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. We're not losing any money on them. We're not losing any money, as far as I can see.
So one of the things we need to look at is, because we're not throwing garbage in the open top, or are we? Just like the big stuff.
They do. They do. When they pull the compactor out, the container out, some of it does fall to the ground. They'll take the loader down and...
How long does it take to get a bowl done? And
Once a week, they're coming in.
You're talking a bucket, though. The last time I was... Nancy did it one time when I was there, and it was like an average of a bucket full. And that was when the compactor was overfilled. It was overfilled, so when they overfill the compactor area, when they pull it, then there's more spillage. And we walked down when Nancy and Bruce cleaned it up, and it was about a bucket full.
Yeah.
So if it's overfilled and they don't call and have it emptied on time, But that was kind of the time that it was overfilled, and it was about a bucket load full.
So I guess my question to that is, why can't you take that bucket load and put it back into the next container that's coming in?
No, you got to do it. If there's only two or three bags, we'll leave them down there and throw them in the next container. But now you've got to handle them twice.
And they're really torn. I mean, there was kitty litter all over. It's not. They'd have to bag it, some of it. That they don't dispose of the material in the compactor soon enough, and people continue to throw garbage in it. Then when they pull it, things come out. And when things come out, those bags don't hold together. That they were shoveling kitty litter, and the bags pull apart. So it's not. You can't say, well, we're going to pull those five bags that didn't go with the pull. We're going to pull them off the ground.
You shovel it into the loader, in the bucket of the loader. And which loader are you using?
We set in 20 yards then.
Well, no, I know that's what you've been doing, but why can't this go back into that? Is there not enough room to put the bucket in that shed?
No.
Because there's a post in the way or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So you want me to put $1,000? It still hadn't hurt the 20 yarders. I mean, even with that on tap, I mean, we're loading them pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm just, but, you know, if you're using the 20 yarders for mostly the construction debris and couches and chairs and things that people are getting rid of.
Yeah.
And you have the compacted trash. I don't know. We pay all for weight, so it doesn't really matter where it goes, does it?
No, it's the same amount. But a
pull, when they pull one of these things, right, there's a cost associated with that.
$175.
Okay.
Empty
any one of them.
Okay.
40 yards.
So whether it's got 10 ton in it or whether it's got 30 ton in it, it's still $175.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been having them put the chair covers into with the garbage.
Yeah.
So that it wouldn't take up so much room in the.
Also, that doesn't absorb as much water.
No.
So you need one cover.
Pardon me?
You need one cover?
Yeah, one set.
That's $1,000.
Yeah. It was the last time I bought them, now.
All right, we'll do $1,200 just to cover.
Yeah, I don't think they've gone up. I haven't talked to them lately. But
all right, we'll do $1,000.
Okay.
So we'll put where the 18 is. Let's see, we're going to put in $1,000 for open top covers. Got that, Jeff?
Got it.
Good with the handheld blower.
Yep, we got you in at 150.
Okay. Now you said you're going with gas on that. Why wouldn't you go with a battery operated one down there?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, it's they're. Well, I'm thinking about the gas. I'm thinking about how it's a two cycle motor, so you're going to have to mix fuel and have it sitting there. Or buy a pre-mixed unit versus a battery, which you could basically plug into an outlet down there. You know, I'm just in quiet and for less chance of hazard, I think a battery is probably safer.
Okay.
I agree.
Easier to start in the winter when it's cold.
Basically, you hit a button and the thing comes on.
Easier to start all the time.
Right. You know, there's less chance of malfunction, I think. The only problem is that some of the units, the battery life is, you know, could be anywhere from 10 minutes to 35 minutes.
But if you get a good heavy one now, the batteries are better now. We run a battery chainsaw and it lasts.
You have to charge them in the morning room in the winter.
I think they're ion batteries, so I don't think it really.
Any idea what they cost more than this?
Well,
they are more than $150.
Thinking that.
So they're $250.
Well, I would think $250 would cover it because I don't know if all of them come with batteries, and most batteries are about $80 to $100.
At 250, isn't it?
It's expensive to replace the batteries.
That work for you?
No.
Yes, sir.
But when you stop, you know, yes, it might be expensive to replace the battery, but think about the fuel you're not spending on,
right,
and the confidence,
yeah,
or the ease of use.
And upkeep.
Yeah.
Way better.
Just a thought.
Okay, Jeff was talking about, you talked about the wage increase. What was the minimum going up to you when we were talking about that?
So right, so I included a page for you guys to see that. It's in the very front, right before the tentative budget. I don't know if we've discussed it yet. We haven't talked salaries yet.
Yeah, we'll do that at the end.
But at the end of 2020, the minimum wage is going to be increased to $12.50. New employees, you guys have been hiring them at $12, so you would effectively have to increase that by December 31st of 2020, although we probably won't have many working on the 31st, it's a holiday. That was not something that I knew if you guys wanted to discuss this budget or about it next budget.
We'll do that when we're doing salaries and hourly wages all at the same time.
Right. And Ted's comment is because most of the people who work there are under that $12.50.
Yeah.
So we would have to consider what we're going to do with that.
But the reality is it's not a problem until December 31st of 2020.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Ted?
Yeah, the roof for the compact building.
Oh, yeah. So we, I got the request at a prior board meeting. I passed it on to Transfer Station take a look at it because the board wanted to hold on doing any work on it. I don't know if we have more information on that.
Well, I reached back out to Ted and talked to him about it. And so it's not leaking at this point, but with the work that they've done inside, sealing up the ceiling, so to speak, you don't want to have damage there. The shingles themselves are curling, they're not healthy, although it's not leaking yet. I gave him another name of another contractor.
Yeah, he didn't call me.
He hasn't, okay. But I also suggested that you go with metal versus shingles. One of the concerns that Ted had was snow and ice coming off the roof.
Sliding off onto the customer.
We got a laborer down there.
And my comment was, you know, well, you a roof rake and or, you know, have somebody, you know, remove the snow. You got a plow that comes through or a front end loader to scrape it off easy enough.
What's the pitch on that roof? Do you know?
I don't, but it's
pretty.
I don't. It's relatively shallow.
Mm-hmm. I did get a hold of one of the contractors. You know, give me a price, Fred.
Fred Bartlett?
Bartlett, yeah. He said he can't really see why you'd want to go that way with a 30-year roof owned Corning. You might get another 10 years out of the metal, but you still have the thing of the water, the ice coming out onto the customers.
Mm-hmm. And less likely with an asphalt roof.
Yeah.
Well, you could put ice stops on the metal, but the water's still going to come off.
I mean, a roof rake is not a big deal. I used to roof rake our house in my old bakery building. It's not. If you stay on it, it's not a hard task. I can't do it anymore, but I did it for probably 30 years.
No, they're going to come up with a price anyways.
Yep.
The only one I got a hold of so far.
Doesn't the roof slant away from where the people are?
No, this is a double pitch.
Do we have, money in this year's budget for that, for the roof?
I don't think we put anything in there for it.
The building
in this year's budget.
For 2019.
Right, I understand what you're saying. I don't see anything in here for that. I mean, if we put money into contractual for it, you know, we don't see that here.
Oh, that's true.
If we're not thinking we're going to get it done this year, can we consider
there's a sealant that people put on mobile homes. You put a, at least, I don't know how much it used to be, maybe $40
well,
or $60.
It's on an asphalt seal. It's on an asphalt roof that's not leaking. It's just it, part of it is that the shingles look awful, and with the work inside, there's it's more
yeah,
of a concern.
Preventative, yeah.
But, you know, does it need to be done? Does it need to be done right now? No, but it should be done.
It's going to need.
So with that said, I don't know if there's money in the budget, but and Ted is still trying to get some more information. If it could be done this year and there is money, we should probably should get it done this year. If there isn't, then we probably should really think about having it done for next year.
Why don't we, if the board is interested, why don't we establish a capital reserve fund for 2020 that'll be used for obviously capital projects,
yeah.
Which could be roof replacement, it could be a new structure for the pullouts, it could be earmarked to help pay for new compacts down the road.
Good with that.
Yeah.
So how much you want to put into that? We can pull that up.
$110,000.
What do we got for fund balance?
Am I reading this right, Jeffrey? The transfer station?
Current fund balance?
Yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
I thought it was 45 to 60 a couple of years ago.
The transfer station, that fund balance is going to be a little off. And the reason is because you guys increased rates this year,
mm-hmm.
so we have a lot of increased expenses mm-hmm. through coal and
labor,
and stuff, right?
Labor.
But we also have the increased revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So what I need to do is I'll get you guys a copy of the profit and loss statement that we do,
okay.
because this is a you know for-profit kind of thing, and
okay.
then you'll be able to make a better decision probably.
All right, why don't you get that for us? We'll bring it up at our next budget workshop. I would like to establish that reserve, though.
What was our fund balance coming into this year? Because that carries over. What are we looking at?
I think we got it.
We used some of that when we bought the loader from Highway a couple of years ago.
How much compactor cost?
Well, it's got to be about $100,000.
Well, that's an example of, I think, what we were talking about of a way.
That's how, so that's,
yeah, that's how it should be used.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think we should do that. But we'll wait for the rest of the information.
All right. That work for you?
Good.
Anything else? That I can think of right now. Are you that think of it right now?
Nope.
No?
Okay. You're not shy.
But
you're not shy in my office.
I try not to.
Tool.
Thank you for coming in.
We'll get a little time. We're not going to adopt it till tomorrow.
Okay. What I would like is
just kidding.
To know what my
pay is going to be.
I'd like to have to pay at 16, but what my status is. You got me down as a laborer. My
What do you want?
I want to know, when I sign these forms, what am I anyway? Am I a laborer or am I, do I run?
For the benefit of the current board, can you just, and myself too, because I don't want it to be wrong. We got a minute for this? All right, 2 minutes. How many hours a week are you available to work for the town at the transfer station?
This week I worked 14. I worked the 20 hours before.
How many hours a week do you normally work on average?
Well, the last pay in the last week was 14.
And how many days a week is that for you?
That's 2 5.
That's two pay. That's 2 weeks.
Yeah, one pay period.
That's a pay period you're talking about?
No, I'm sorry. This last week.
I just did the payroll. 14 hours last week.
So when you say you did the payroll, we pay biweekly. So if it's 14 hours for 2 weeks, you come up for a pay period?
No, 14, maybe 28 hours now, 20 to 28.
Well, I can get the information from payroll. Yeah. I remembered you saying something about working a couple days a week the last time we met. How many days a week do you normally work? Let me ask the question another way.
Right now, it's 5 days a week.
You're working 5 days a week? And how many hours a day?
Today, I worked two. Monday, I did the payroll, worked three. Depends.
Okay.
Maybe four. I'm going to be tomorrow. I've got them coming in to clean out the 20 yarders go in for the 40, for the recycling goes in. I've got people coming in to clean them out tomorrow. It'll be another couple hours tomorrow.
Yeah. Is Ted technically a full-time employee by classification or part-time?
Yeah.
Part-time? So he has to stay under 19.5?
No, his hours are different because the transfer station is open more hours a week. They're open 40 hours a week as opposed to the 35 hours the town hall is open.
So to stay in compliance, to be part-time?
20. Under 20.
Under 20. Okay. Thank you.
One thing we didn't talk about, but we touched on the top here on this account, IT work.
Mm-hmm.
We do cameras. We don't have any money budget for that, right? Mm-hmm. Or do we?
That is for further board discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking specifically for transfer station? We have $2,000 budgeted for cameras.
Yes, we have the $2,000 for the cameras, but there would be work. You know, to maybe run
be a monthly service
there,
too, right?
Get internet down there, depending on what we need.
Well, we got to get internet, right? And so the easiest way to get internet without incurring additional monthly recurring, I think, is to just hit a wireless shot from where we already have internet. So Highway has internet,
okay,
and we can do a radio on each end with an antenna and give transfer internet. That would give us the ability going forward to do payroll if you move toward payroll, so time clocks, and it would give us internet for computers for training and other things they're supposed to do, and it would give us the ability to do cameras.
Good.
Okay. So I think the most affordable solution, and we could do it bundled in the camera solution, is to do the connectivity and a couple cameras.
Do you think we've got enough in there?
No. Close. We'll have to look.
Okay. All
right. Speaking of training, confined space training, have you done that lately?
No, I've called TJ. He worked for the village. He was supposed to get back to me with training. He says CSEA puts it on, but I haven't.
Paul didn't have to. I thought Paul's guys had to have it also.
They do.
Yeah, so maybe Paul could do it when Paul does it with his fellas.
I'll get a hold of him then. I didn't.
Yeah, because we're supposed to do that,
Paul.
I think, annually.
Yeah, check with Paul. He'll have their schedule.
Is that something that somebody actually comes in and does, or is it a computer type?
I believe someone comes in, but I'm not sure. That anytime they're down in the compactor area, that's confined space, so we were supposed to be doing that annually.
Mm-hmm.
We did set it up a couple of years ago. I don't remember. I think Paul helped you with it, or I'm not sure who did, but it just came to mind when somebody said something training, and I thought we're supposed to stay on top of that.
Okay.
All right. Everybody good? Thank you, Ted.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate you coming in tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does this put you over your 19 hours coming in tonight?
Do I get paid for this? Wait a minute.
Sure.
Am I on the clock?
You're on the clock.
Okay.
Good
thank
night,
you,
sir.
Have a good day.
Yeah, Ted.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ted.
Sorry.
That's
what we have scheduled for tonight.
That's seriously?
Mm-hmm. But you got to remember that we designed that budget down there in operating to basically, we're not charging any more than we have to for capital reserves.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think we had over 60.
Well, going back in 2016 when I had 121.
Mm-hmm. Is that all we have scheduled?
That's all that's scheduled, yes. Right. On Thursday, we have court, recreation, and fire company.
We done?
Everybody done for budget discussions?
Yes.
Yes, we're all set.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.